The Larry King Show features interviews with interesting guests, telephone calls from across North America, and is a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System. And now, the host of the program, here's Larry.
Thank you very much, Paul. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Larry King Show. We're with you every night at this time from Hawaii to the Virgin Islands, Canada to Mexico. We have two outstanding guests tonight. In the first hour, Freddie DeCordova. He was with us earlier on television. The executive producer of The Tonight Show has written his autobiography, Johnny Came Lately. Then in hour number two, Paul Erdman, who writes nothing but hit books, usually in novel form. Now his new one is What's Next? How to Prepare Yourself for the Crash of 89. Paul Erdman in hour number two. Tomorrow night's guest is Freddie Silverman, former boy wonder at CBS, former president of NBC, now very successful in the syndication business. Our new station this week is WTIX in New Orleans. A great pleasure to welcome to our microphones a living marvel, Freddie DeCordova, about to be 78 years old, four packs of cigarettes a day, a bottle of vodka a day. He doesn't cough. He's perfectly healthy. He's the exception that breaks the rule. He's enormously successful. He directed Ronald Reagan in film. He is the boss of Johnny Carson on television. He is. Why do you keep working?
Well, I have a wife who is beautiful and has a black belt in spending. I think it's important that for whatever time we have together, she should be given the right to spend as much as she wants.
Seriously, have you ever thought of just playing golf and forgetting?
Yes, I have, and nothing is more frightening to me than the thought of waking up some morning and having nothing to do that day but amuse myself. I don't use those high-flown phrases like contribute. That's not it. I have found from as far back as I can remember, nothing is more exciting than working and working hard. It helps to be successful. I'm not so sure that that would be the case if I weren't. But to have a challenge and nice job to go to, involve myself with interesting people, and certainly you do, and I think you can identify with what I'm saying. What a wonderful way to reach these golden years and find you're still doing something you enjoy doing.
You were a film director. Most people who do that don't leave it.
They don't leave it up to their own request.
Like, why did you? You make jokes about Bedtime for Bonzo. You did that film with Ray.
Yes, and I liked it.
And critics take second looks at it and like it.
That's right.
But, I mean, why did you leave that field?
To be honest, and I believe, knowing you, that it's absolutely necessary to be honest in these kind of meetings on the air, I would love to have turned out to be Billy Wilder or Willie Wyler, both of whom were dear friends of mine, or George Stevens, or all the legendary, Joe Mankiewicz, those people. I thought I had a talent and was able to further my career and the career of some of the people who appeared in the movies. But there was never that touch, that spark, that made me a truly first-rate director in motion pictures. I'd had a bit of that kind of success on Broadway with some rather successful plays, musicals mostly. But in films, I did all right. People thought I was a nice guy to work with and that I had prepared my homework as I should have, but nothing ever took off. Strangely enough, just when studios were saying they could do without Freddie DeCordova and they would get that other new young guy from the East, and I was a young guy once, then television beckoned, and from that moment on, the success has been constant and lovely.
And we discussed it earlier on television. You managed to produce for people like George Burns, Jack Benny, and Johnny Carson.
That's directed them, directed and produced. That was even more fun.
Well, what a joy that must have been to be around three great comedic minds.
It was
three very different people. I got the impression Benny was a particular favorite.
I don't think that there's any way anybody I've ever been around doesn't know and doesn't agree with that there was one man out of them all who was so special, so dear, as well as so talented, as Jack. He was just didn't have anything mean to say about anybody. And in this dog-eat-dog business we're all in, I don't think I've ever heard anybody in the entire show business community ever say anything about, except wasn't he a remarkably darling man.
Generous to a fault.
Yes.
Easy to work for?
No star is easy to work for. No star isn't enormously anxious that what he does, now that he is a star, he'll always be the best he can do. And anybody who doesn't contribute to that is a failure in his eyes. You have to work hard for a star, and a star is ordinarily a star because he has earned that right. And you do your best to make them as good as you can.
The secret of your a great deal of your success is to keep things flowing, knowing what's good, knowing what's bad. Cut this out, take this in, put this out. That's part of the overall production of any successful television show. How do you explain, from that standpoint, Jack Benny's timing?
There are certain things in the world that are God-given. About the most difficult thing in the world is teach timing. Timing comes from wherever it comes from, but it doesn't come from this earth alone. Even an agnostic, I think, would agree with that. I do know that he had the courage of a lion. He was the first man, actually, if he said something that he thought was funny and an audience didn't laugh at that thing, he would look that audience in the eye for so long that instead of becoming embarrassed himself, he embarrassed the audience into laughter and applause.
Our guest is Freddie DeCordova, executive producer of The Tonight Show. He's written his autobiography. It's a terrific read. Johnny came lately. About it, Johnny Carson said, Mr. DeCordova makes many flattering references to me. Therefore, I cannot recommend this book too highly. It is published by Simon & Schuster. I'm going to guess, did Michael Korda edit this book?
Yes, he did.
It says, has the Korda touch the feel? Bestsellers have that when you touch your own Michael Korda, you feel it. We'll be taking your calls for Freddie DeCordova in a little while. If you want to get in early, 703-685-2177. We'll be back after these messages.
The Larry King Show is taking your calls now at 703-685-2177. That's 703-685-2177. Let the connection ring. We'll answer when it's your turn. And now, live from Washington, D.C., here's Larry.
I guess one of the truly terrific people in television, Freddie DeCordova, executive producer of The Tonight Show. And he's written his autobiography, Johnny Come Lately.
Came Lately.
Johnny Came, you still want to say come.
Well, my wife is responsible for
that's
that.
That's right.
Title.
Tell that story. It's a good story.
Well, the story is that when there was some discussion about this book being written, it sprang from the fact that I have kept a diary every single night since January 1st, 1932. And that is, if I'm correct, quite a while ago.
World record for diaries.
And Mr. Carson's writers heard about it and thought it'd be an interesting subject for a comedic piece involving particularly my close friendship with Abraham Lincoln and my having been present when the wheel was invented. And it was rather funny, and it worked several times on the show, and Irving Azar, who was a rather remarkable agent, asked me to come to New York, fly in, and I said, why? And he said, we're going to sell your book. And I said, I don't have a book. And he said, well, you will have. Come on in. And I went in, and we hawked the book around, and Michael Korda thought it might be a good idea, and said, well, what I think will be good about it will be that people might care a good deal about what goes on behind the scenes of The Tonight Show, and that might be enough to make the book saleable. And my wife, who was present, as she always is, and at my request, said, no, I think we must realize that long before Johnny Carson came along, Fred Fred had a number of successful years. As a matter of fact, Mr. Corda, Johnny came lately. And guess how that title came into being?
We're being swamped with phone calls, and since Freddie's going to be with us in the first hour only, we're going to go to those calls early. We'll intermingle some questions along with yours. Sarasota, Florida. Hello.
Yes, I have two questions. Number one, in the early 70s, when the show moved to the West Coast, I remember a spokesperson for the show saying they would do several shows a year in New York. I think you've only done one show since. So number one, how about more shows from New York? Number two, how come the show didn't go over in England on tape over there?
Okay, first, why don't you go back
first
to
question
York?
Is, it's totally a matter of facilities. Our show is rather, in its comedic sense, elaborate. We have the facilities to build almost immediately something we want to do tomorrow night. That wasn't the case in New York, and I'm certainly, as a born and brought up New Yorker, not anti-New York. The facilities at Rockefeller Center were not the kinds you have when NBC on the coast is practically where we work, a old-time motion picture studio.
Theater.
That's right.
Why wasn't it hit in England?
I think it's the easiest thing to explain, and I think Johnny knew it even before I did. I know of no show. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are very few shows more totally American than The Tonight Show is. And the monologue material, which is Johnny's pride and joy, is off the front pages of the American papers. And you would have to explain what we were talking about to English people. And there are two other points. We were not on a regular basis. We were on once a week and not necessarily at the same time. And if you know the continuing saga of The Tonight Show, it's Ed and Johnny and Doc and all the other people involved talking about what happened last night. And if there was nothing on last night, there are lots of reasons it wasn't successful in England.
Bethesda, Maryland, for Freddie DeCordova. Hello.
First, congratulations on a marvelous career. You've given us a tremendous amount of pleasure.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you two questions. First, when you have the best of Carson on Monday nights and elsewhere, is it any reason why you don't put a date on the show? I mean, it would...
Well, why you don't tell the audience the date it first aired?
There's no particular reason.
Sometimes that'll be interesting, I guess.
Yes. It does say the best of Carson, so that those who are regular viewers know it's not a new show. And the date is sometimes chosen much more quickly before that show is aired, because something in the papers, so it makes the fact that our shows are never more than a year old. It isn't as if it were some distant past.
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hello.
Hi, Larry. I have a question for your guest, and please don't cut me off.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm the same age as Angela Lansbury, and I'm the Jessica Fletcher type, and I've written 5 books, and my new book out in July is A Murder, She Wrote type. Now, I actually solved the murder.
What is the question?
Research. I think I'd have loads of fun being on the card.
Well, how would she try to get on the show?
Let's say that what must be obvious, it's not easy. Secondly, it is, you have to go through a series of legitimate questions from my staff as to why you, not this lady in particular, but why one is more likely to amuse Johnny and amuse the audience than somebody else who has already written such a book.
Amusing is the key.
That's the key word to me.
Atlanta, hello.
Yes, I'm a psychiatrist, and I was sort of interested, with all of your years in show business, what have you observed about what happens to people's egos, or what happens to famous people? What are they like when they're not on camera? Are they basically people who put their pants on one leg at a time?
I am not a psychiatrist. I do know that there are absolutely wonderful people in show business. There are people who are wonderful minus, and there are people you're not mad about, just as there
all,
are.
All have egos, right?
I think everybody has an ego, whether he's in show business or not. It's just
that life insurance salesman has an ego.
Indeed he has, and rightly so.
But it's not recognized on the streets of the show.
I think you're more vulnerable. If you do something out of line and you're in the limelight, it looks like you're more of a fool than somebody who's never been heard of.
Trap Maryland, hello.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for filling some lonely nights. I want to ask your guest what he thinks about Hollywood snubbing Spielberg. An example, The Empire of the Sun not getting major.
What do you think of that, Freddie? You've been there a long time.
I voted for him, and I'm one of the members of the Academy and a member of the Directors Guild.
Is it jealousy?
I think it's odd. I wouldn't be surprised. I think there's a old boy network in the academies, just as there is in many other forms of show business. And I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong in the case of Streisand. I think it's wrong in the case of a lot of people. But everybody who won was not a bum.
Mansfield, Ohio. Hello.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Fine.
I have a question for you, and I have a question.
I'd rather have one for Freddie. He's the guest. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Start with
him. Go ahead. What's the question?
I noticed that you haven't said anything about George Burns. What is he like to work with?
Okay.
All right. That's the subject I can do for about an hour and a half. I produced and directed the Burns and Allen show, two of the most talented and darling people. Not only did I know them enormously well as a result of working with them, but they were enormously close personal friends of mine. George, of course, still is. I mentioned to Larry off the air a little while ago that George Burns says I'm the only friend he has who's alive. I never met anybody more darling than Gracie, and while she played a dimwit or whatever that phrase may be on the air, she was as bright and knowledgeable and dear a lady as you'll ever meet. I am delighted, as a semi-senior citizen in comparison with George, I am so delighted for him that at this point in time, which is quite a long point in time, he is still so successful and so happy with what he's doing.
Why do you think the public loves him so much?
I think that there is something that goes with age, too. But to make fun of yourself as you get older and not pretend that you're still a younger man, but to say, oh, I wish I were 18 again, is part of Americana.
He also, nothing's really new, he did what Gary Shandling's doing 30 years ago, right?
Broke the fourth wall.
Talk to the audience.
That's right.
Freddie DeCordova is the guest, executive producer of The Tonight Show. The book is Johnny Came Lately, Detroit. Hello.
Yeah, I heard Richard Dawson say that he was going to be the guest host on the show, and on that day there was some particularly bad news, tragic news. It was either the abortive attempt to rescue the hostages in Iran.
It was.
And he didn't want to do the opening monologue. He thought it was in bad taste, and that you told him he had to do it. And he walked off the show, and he's never been on. How do you defend that position other than to say...
Well, let him answer rather than think for him.
Let me say, most of that is true. Some of it is not. I didn't tell him he had to do it. I said that we would be doing a show that night, that the Tonight Show and many other shows fall into the category of we go on whether there are problems in the world or not. Otherwise, we'd be off the air an awful lot of nights. But there was no pressure on Richard. If he didn't do it, he'd be in trouble. And indeed, he has been on the show since then, and he remains a very close personal friend of mine, and I don't think he feels bitter about it at all.
Who did the show?
I think it's hard to remember. I think it may have been Della Reese. It was no, they weren't wrong in doing it either.
Hallam, Oregon. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Fred DeCordova, this is Dick Joy.
Hi, Dick.
December Bride?
I do remember indeed.
That was a wonderful series.
Was Dick in that series?
Not only was... Well, let me explain a little bit about that show.
Sure.
That was a show starring Spring Byington, Verna Felton, Harry Morgan, probably you better know, and Dick. And it was one of the great four years of my life. They were lovely people to work with, and I sure say hello.
That was beautiful, and I wonder if you remember the night that we asked part of the audience if they'd like to get on a bus to see a new entertainer named Johnny Carson.
Yes, I do. And not too many of them got on the bus.
I don't think anybody did, and Harry Morgan said, well, Dick, you don't know how to sell. And he tried, and he didn't get anything either.
Anyway, the good news is those were wonderful days, and Carson made it in spite of that night.
Well, you're a wonderful man. And
all right, Dick, now we got you for a quick minute. You're in retirement now? What are you doing?
I'm just living in Oregon. I was told in 1969 that I had a year to go, and I'm still here.
And I bet you have a lot more coming.
Wow.
Well,
what? All right.
I had a great career. And
what was Freddie like to work for?
Pardon?
What was Freddie like to work for?
Oh, he was wonderful. I'm not saying that just because he's there.
Yes, you are.
Oh, no, he had to be wonderful for you to call in. I'm not kidding. I told him that the director of The Tonight Show called in on television tonight, right. Bobby Quinn. Normally, people don't call in unless they love you.
Well, he was one of a kind, and as he said, he still is one of a kind. But
thank you, Dick.
That was one of a kind show, too.
Yes, it was.
Thanks, Dick. Wow.
Right on.
We'll be right back after the news headlines with Freddie DeCordova. You got friends like that. You got everything. The book is Johnny Came Lately. It is published by Simon & Schuster. At the top of the hour, Paul Erdman, whose new book, normally Paul writes novels. The new one is What's Next? How to Prepare Yourself for the Crash of 89. Paul Erdman, an old friend of Freddie DeCordova, will be with us at the top of the hour. We'll be back right after the news headlines. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Our Mutual Waterfront Broadcasting System.
The Larry King Show, live from Washington, D.C. Here again, Larry King.
We're back with Freddie DeCordova, executive producer of The Tonight Show. This is The Larry King Show. Back to the calls. The book, Johnny Came Lately. Philadelphia, hello.
Mr. DeCordova, I'd like to know, who do you think we're top five comedians have been on The Tonight Show, and who do you think should take over for Johnny when he does retire?
Let me reverse the answers. I believe whoever takes over from Johnny will have himself a quite a problem for quite a while. When you have entertained, as Johnny has, three complete generations of Americans, and that you have established yourself as a major force in the thinking, not only conversationally, but in the monologue, as a major force in the thinking of the country, you've become a kind of an institution. And when that happens, when Johnny packs it in, and I hope all of us who work with him hope that we know it won't be for another year and a half at least, it will be a tough road to hoe for the person who does follow him.
You will leave when he goes, right?
I think there's no doubt in my mind that it would be very difficult to start again with somebody after all these happy years with him.
You're not going to say now who you'd recommend, or would you?
No, but I do want to answer the other question. Who are the five best or funniest comedians who have been on the show? In the break, we were just saying that I don't think there's a funnier man in the business today than Bob Newhart. I think he is a remarkable comedian. We've had enormous success in the current replacements for Johnny on those rare nights when he's off. And we've come up with two young gentlemen who, aside from being great on our show, are making great careers for themselves, and those are Gary Shandling and Jay Leno. When you go on from there, it is not so much a question of who is the best or who isn't the best. There are so many very good ones, but that isn't all the fun of the show. Johnny and I and all of us associated with this show have taken such delight in finding young comedians who have not had much exposure, giving them their first national television chance on The Tonight Show. And you'd be surprised what a major difference it has made in their lives and their careers as a result of that exposure.
And it's a big kick to you when they do it,
isn't it? Oh, nothing. Good for me, but Johnny just adores it.
East Detroit for Freddie DeCordova. Hello.
Hi, guys. I was wondering about any reminiscences about the evenings the Beatles were on with Joe Graziola, or the night Madonna was on. And I have another question.
The Beatles were on?
Well, they were on ahead of me, and if they were on The Tonight Show, and I don't think they were, but maybe they were.
They
were ahead of me. Madonna was on. She was a delight. We had a lot of... she's a sparkling personality, a charming talent, and we were delighted to have her. We've also had Sean on, and he's pleasant.
Is Johnny difficult?
Difficult like any star is difficult. Yes, he's a total taskmaster. He wants that show to be as good as everybody he pays can make it good. And he is tolerant of any mistake you make through human error as long as it is not based on lack of attention to every detail. And I respect him for that. And he, above anybody else, is the most critical of something on the show if he doesn't think he did as well as he could do.
To Rochester, New York, with Freddie DeCordova, the book Johnny Came Lately. Hello.
Two-part question. Number one, can Freddie DeCordova recall any situation whereby Johnny really lost it, almost by going back to the days of Lowell Thomas, where he was completely out of control? Second part of the question is, any situation where a situation completely bombed and it was a complete embarrassment for Johnny?
The Lowell Thomas you're referring to when he broke up laughing on the air.
That is correct.
Yeah, Lowell Thomas had a famous 5 minutes of laughter trying to get off the air.
Johnny is pretty much in command of himself all the time he's on there. No, he remains in control, and there is that wonderful ability, if things aren't going very well, to go to a commercial.
Famous flop bit? Any bit you really expected would kill him didn't do anything?
Yes, we had Orson Welles did the show, and Orson, in addition to being a magnificent actor, was also a remarkable magician. And Orson had a so-called magical trick, which of course was not, and I'll try and explain it very briefly. Four people from an audience would call out numbers. In the meantime, Orson had written a six-figure number on a blackboard, what the ultimate total of all the numbers would be. And then he would ask a fifth person, let's say, who, of course, had a calculator in his hand and had added up the other four, knew the number that Orson had written on the board, and then by adding the other four and adding the number that he had to the list, Orson would then be absolutely astounding, because he would turn, after all the numbers had been shouted out, turn the blackboard around, and there would be the perfect number. Well, something went wrong with the calculator. And it took about 8 minutes to do that trick once, and Orson would not get off. He said, I'm going to try that again. And he tried it again, and the number was wrong. So he should have had an assistant who was better with figures instead of just having a beautiful figure.
Union City, California, with Freddie DeCordova. Hello.
Yes, I'd like to know, was there a live audience on the Jack Benny TV show?
For a lot of years there was, yes indeed. Later, as Jack was not as facile as he had been earlier, we did the show without him, without an audience, and I had an added problem, which was to time the laughs by saying
as if there were an audience there, laugh as if that were a minor laugh, or laugh if we thought it was a very big joke, and time the amount of time we would leave open before Jack would say the next line or somebody else would, and then we would put the laughs in to match that later.
Freddie DeCordova is the guest. A wonderful collection of stories like you're listening to and others. The book is Johnny Came Lately from Simon & Schuster. Back after these messages.
You're listening to The Larry King Show, live from Washington, D.C. Here again, Larry King.
With Freddie DeCordova, Olympia, Washington. Hello.
Yeah, Mr. DeCordova, I was wondering, in your position, you've known virtually everyone who's anyone in entertainment or politics, and I was just wondering if there's anybody or any several people that you have never met that you would like to have met.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is true. What you say is true. Just by the long time I've been around and the number of things I've done, I've met most everybody. Liked almost all of them. A few I wasn't absolutely crazy about. But the two people that I've never met in any fashion, any form, were Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn. And I finally, once, there was a third person. I did meet Ingrid Bergman later in life. But never Spencer, and we were both in the theater. Miss Hepburn is, of course, a remarkable lady. And never have we met.
Who does a Tonight Show want that it's never been able to get?
There are quite a few. They are among the major stars. There's Paul Newman and Redford and Woody Allen.
Never done it.
But no.
Woody Allen's never done it.
No. Well, no, Woody Allen did it long before he really became Woody Allen. Yeah. And he retired from practically every site except on the screen. You know. There are a few. Gielgud did it, but Olivier never did. I think I'm honest in saying Bob De Niro never did it. And I made a picture with him as an actor, ho, ho, ho. And I asked him why he never did it. And I said, come on, you're such a wonderful actor. Why don't you come out and do the show? And he said, because what I do is act. What I don't do and am not capable at all of doing is small talk. And I believe that many, many of the performers that I mentioned are magnificent actors when they're doing the lines somebody wrote for them and making wonderful performances. But that does not necessarily make them interesting conversationalists.
Beattyville, Kentucky. Hello.
Yes. Mr. DeCordova, I have questions about Mr. Reagan, or President Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll hang up and listen. One, does he watch The Tonight Show? And two, if he does, do you ever discuss with him about some of the material that Johnny does on his monologue? Does he find
he was on the show when he was governor, right?
Yes, he was. I think
he has a good
know
sense of humor about himself, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, he does indeed. The thrust, I think, is does he find that the material that sometimes is comically critical that Johnny does about him and his impersonation of the president is so good that the president asked for several of the tapes of Johnny playing the president, so he can't take too much umbrage at what Johnny does. He also is a bright enough man, and Gordon, he certainly is bright enough, the president, to realize that every president and every major figure in the history of politics since Mr. Carson has been on the show has been the subject of humor, and that they have brought it on themselves. What they do and how they phrase things in the front page of the paper are the basis for those monologue jokes.
Atlanta. Hello.
Larry, two questions. I'll hang up. Number one, common attribute that the great talent bookers have in common. And number two, what about a reel of classic Carson monologues that could be sold in home video?
Good idea. The second question.
I think the key to that, and I don't really speak for Johnny in this case, I think Johnny has a lot of plans for the Tonight Show segments. There is a thing called Comedy Classics, which has been highly successful on the air, not the monologues. He has the rights to all those shows for a number of years. They are his personal property. And someday he will utilize them. In fairness to, in opposition, really, to your question, though, pardon. It seems to me that monologues that are so successful are because they are so topical. I'm not sure that a Jimmy Carter or a Lyndon Johnson joke now would be as funny now as a Reagan joke is.
Secrets of a good booker.
Secrets are secrets, of course, but they are. We have a staff of highly dedicated and highly paid coordinators, researchers, whatever you want to call, who look at every cassette, video cassette of everybody in performance, read every book, see every movie, look at every play they can, and
nobody's on there by accident.
No, and nobody has remained by accident. I think it's vital to realize that they, by now, have learned what they think will do those two famous tenets that I have, that the performer, whatever the person, whatever his area of expertise is, will be amusing to Johnny and will be amusing to our audience. And they've learned over the time that we've all made mistakes, and we've all been enormously excited when we came up with something that truly worked.
To Emmett, Idaho, for Freddie DeCordova. Hello.
Good evening. Mr. DeCordova, two quick questions. Number one, I read that the first time Freddie Prinze was on the show, you didn't want to put him on because you thought...
Hello?
I'd like to know why you thought Johnny would hate him. And number two, do you foresee at any time in the future Johnny burying the hatchet with Joan Rivers?
All right. I think the first story is totally true. I thought, and I have continued to think over a long period of time, sometimes, I think 99% of the time I've been right. I am not an advocate of ethnic humor. I believe that when you get many laughs, you also may offend people. I think Freddie fell into that category, in my opinion, certainly when he moved on into situation comedy, and certainly in nightclubs. I believe there's a place for it, but I fight very hard to keep ethnic humor. I don't mind if it is partially ethnic, and then it is a joke told, and then you are there. But when you do your entire bit in that area, I think you offend a lot of people. I'm either right or wrong. As to burying the hatchet with Joan, not too likely. There isn't an awful lot of hatred going on, and I think the garbage press has certainly indicated there was. I think there was great disappointment, not with Joan leaving. We wish a lot of people luck when they leave. I just think there were many nicer ways to say goodbye without dealing two contractual attempts at the same time.
Sad, in a way.
It's good. Yeah. Yes.
We'll be back with our remaining moments with Freddie DeCordova. The book is Johnny Came Lately. First, this message.
You're listening to show live from Washington, D.C. Here again, Larry King.
I guess.
executive producer of The Tonight Show. And we go to Carthage, Missouri. Hello. I'm sorry, Buffalo. Carthage is next. Buffalo, go ahead.
Hello, Mr. DeCordova.
Hi.
A comment and a question. The comment is that, is as wonderful as Johnny is with celebrities, boy, give me 5 minutes of him with the potato chip lady or the kids doing bird calls, and he's just so genuinely warm and wonderful. Secondly, I was wondering if you could comment on the problems with Barbara Streisand. I know a couple of years ago it said she returns to The Tonight Show, a lot of advertisements, never followed through on it. If you could set that straight, I'd appreciate it.
Well, first of all, I couldn't agree more, and if Johnny is listening, and I imagine he is, we all think the civilian area, which is not a put-down, it is to separate the guests who are in show business or make their living in the rather glamorous areas. Nobody is as welcome and we look forward to so much as the civilian area, the lady who makes, who collects potato chips who look like, that look like Bob Hope or butterflies, or the man who, thought the greatest, fun he ever had was collecting quail droppings and making them into earrings and necklaces, and a lady who said that, and I phrase this as well as I can, who said, I seriously believe peanuts, pecans, cashews, I think nuts are very important in sexual relationships. I think those people are actually sensational.
Streisand
was booked, and there is no reason for me to think that it wasn't true when the problem came up and she wasn't able to do the show. And the next night we kind of made fun of our big pronunciamentos that she would be on. We took a very charming actress called Madeline Rue, made her up and dressed her as the common conception would be that Streisand was finally going to come on the next night because she hadn't been able to get on the first night, dimmed the lights, brought her through the center curtain, and then just as she presumably was about to open her mouth to sing, that we took all the lights out. It was our kind of vengeance, but it wasn't no bitterness in it at all.
To Carthage, Missouri, with Freddie DeCordova. Hello.
Hey, Mr. DeCordova, it's a shame the strike is keeping the new programs off the air like this. And Paul Harvey said the other day when the strike was just looming, he said, Johnny Carson may just write his own monologues and don't think he can't. What about that?
I think he could write them for a while. When you do a show, if he were going to do one show or maybe two or three shows, specials or something like that, and get the time to do that, in addition to the other things he does, I think he could do it. I think when he comes back, he expects to continue on for a long series of nights in a row, and that isn't as easy to do as it sounds. You just can't make up that 10 minutes of jokes night after night after night without professional help. I think the strike is enormously depressing for a major reason. For the first time in the history of The Tonight Show, an author by the name of Freddie DeCordova was booked to appear on The Tonight Show. And when the strike was called, I had to bump him along with everybody else who was scheduled. And I'm trying very hard to get him back on the show.
How'd you take the news when you called him?
He was distraught.
Livid?
Oh, angry.
Rescheduled himself and everything.
He's called me every day.
In fact, he's threatened to sleep with your wife.
He hasn't gone that far.
Bremerton, Washington. Hello.
Hello. Mr. Cordova,
yes.
I feel just like you about Jack Benny's great comedic talent.
Good.
So happy you talked about him.
Yes.
And then I was floored by Johnny Carson's vindictiveness against Joan Rivers. I don't see how she could, in the world, she could have bothered him or, you know, threatened him.
All right, will you quickly, Freddie? We only have a couple minutes.
Let me break in. The word vindictims is 100% incorrect. Johnny was hurt, depressed, and could not believe that somebody who had been a closest friend to him as a member of the Tonight Show family would be negotiating with him right down to the time of signing a contract, and we found out that at the same time she was negotiating with the Fox Network. That's not what you'd want any member of your family to do.
You don't do that in this business.
I don't think you do and remain in it.
How do you like being an author? I mean, is it a kick? Come on, admit it, Freddie. You go into bookstores at the airport, you look in. You see.
I haven't done it yet. I tell you, I have one honest, and I got paid nicely up front on this. I hope it sells and brings a lot of pleasure to people. What I'm most anxious to do is have the people that I know well read the book and think I did an honest job. And that I realize that I write about having all the fun I've had all these years, and that it is not phony, it is not fake, it is the truth.
When do you write in your diary? Right before going to bed?
Right before, or if the night has been a rather large one, the next morning.
But always have done it?
Always have done it every day since then, since 1932.
Wow. Look back on it a lot?
For memory jogs, not to say, wasn't that a wonderful night, but if I can't remember exactly when something happened, when I did the show.
I bet everybody wishes they would have done that.
I bet, and they should. Honestly, it's so much fun.
Mario Cuomo does it every night. Writes, always keeps a diary.
Well, he got that from me, I imagine.
Thanks very much. Great having you with us.
It's a delight, delight. You are the best.
Fred DeCordova is a super guy, executive producer of The Tonight Show. The book is Johnny Came Lately. It's published by Simon & Schuster. And about it, Bob Hope said it's no surprise to me that he's written a very entertaining book. He's a delight to know, and he's put it all together in Johnny Came Lately. Our guest has been Freddie DeCordova. The book is published by Simon & Schuster. We're going to pause for news on the hour, a word from your local stations, and we'll come back and meet one of the more successful authors ever in this country, Paul Erdman. Be nice to see Paul again. Paul usually writes novels based on fact. He's an outstanding analyst of economics. His books have included The Palace, The Panic of 89, Paul Erdman's Money Book, The Last Days of America, The Famed Crash of 79, The Silver Bears, The Billion Dollar Sure Thing. And now Paul Erdman's new book for Doubleday is What's Next? How to Prepare Yourself for the Crash of 89 and Profit in the 1990s. Paul Erdman will follow the news. And coincidentally, Freddie DeCordova and Paul Erdman are old friends, right?
That's right.
He's right there.
I'm going to say hello.
We'll be back right after the news with Paul Erdman tomorrow night. Fred Silverman will be here. This is Genius Week in television. This is who would get an idea to bring Raymond Burr back. This is the Larry King Show in Washington. We'll be back right after news on the hour. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
For me,
created expression visually.
A public service message from the Fort Wayne Fine Arts Foundation and WoWo Radio 1190.
Hi, this is Gary Allen, mild-mannered midday mouth. Join me weekdays 10 to 3 on Indiana's great radio tradition. Price Communication Station.